Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Schools and our education system have changed quite a lot over the last 20 years, but one thing that hasn't been overhauled is the way in which we teach our children their sexual education. The Education Minister, Richard Bruton, last week ordered a full review of sex education in our schools, with particular focus on certain areas, including contraception, consent, LGBTQ issues and all that kind of I suppose, more modern take on sexuality that we have now come to sort of see as completely normal now. And in the wake of this, Catholic groups have stated that they will resist any attempted change to the sex education curriculum in our schools that does not match or meet up with the school's ethos. And do bear in mind that 95% of our schools have a Catholic ethos, which begs the question, should religion be left out of sexual education altogether in the first place? Joining me now on the phone to discuss this is Father Paddy Byrne. Father, thanks very much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Ciara. A very good afternoon to you.
And same to yourself. Father, one of the things that I suppose people would be concerned about in terms of having a religious slant on sex education is that there are things in terms of sex that religion feels that maybe secular society doesn't. So for example, we had the marriage referendum 2 years ago where we brought in same-sex marriage and marriage equality. The church would still frown from a theological point of view on gay relationships and all that kind of stuff. Contraception here is used absolutely across the board. 90-something percent of women will have been on it at some point or other in their lives in Ireland. Again, the church doesn't really support the notion of things like that. What do you say to people who say, look, the church doesn't have a role in sex education?
Well, I think maybe I'm living on a different planet, but I remember 2 years ago before the marriage referendum, the day beforehand celebrating a graduation mass in a Catholic school where so many of the students had taw on their school uniforms in a Catholic school. And my sense and my experience of 17 years working, particularly in secondary school environments, is that, you know, Catholic schools, while they hold a Catholic ethos, they're far from a religious holy huddle. They're far from divorced from the reality of secular culture, from culture where we find ourselves. For instance, in one of the secondary schools where I'm chaplain, you mentioned that the church's relationship with the gay community has a huge stand publicly representing the various sexualities and nuances of sexuality. We're in a very different time, a different culture, and I welcome that, and I in no way see that in variance to the tradition and the ethos that is a Catholic ethos. That, by the way, here in Portlaoise, in Ireland's fastest growing town, a wonderful town, where we have in our own population, statistically factual, over 5,000 young people under the age of 18 in school environments, of whom over 4,000 attend Catholic schools. And I can honestly say to you, Ciara, that in no way are they being, even during their religious education times, being indoctrinated into a Catholicism that perhaps was very relevant and prevalent 10 and 5 decades ago. These are young people who are progressive, who are sexually aware, and who are supported very much in the question of what is sexuality, how best can we live human relationship, and how best can we, and it's a very core question, how best can we, in our humanity, experience relationship in the fullness of what it is to be free and happy. So I in no way would see that the Catholic ethos is in variance of what the government themselves are proposing, to be more informed, to have that continued sense of growing in awareness and a respectful dialogue, as we know in recent times, around the question of consent, around what is right relationship and how best we can live that.
But Father, that all sounds really good and I'm delighted to hear it. But isn't there a fundamental conflict? The church doesn't approve of sex outside marriage. This church doesn't approve of contraception. The church doesn't approve of gay relationships. Is this not doctrine?
I think the nuance that you're putting there is a negative one. And I think it, with respect, I'm saying that. I mean, who is the church? I'm sort of sick of listening to this constant negative that the church, and it sounds a faraway place.
But is it not the church's teaching?
I think it's very important to name this reality.
Okay.
I'm speaking as a minister of the gospel in a big growing urban town in schools that accommodate far more, let me tell you, than exclusive middle-class fee-paying schools in Dublin City. We have all religions, no religion. We have never asked for a baptismal cert in any school in this town to be a valid entrance into a Catholic school. I think there's two churches in Ireland. This is the core issue. There's a church, though, on the ground here that's not caught up with what happens in people's bedrooms. We're caught up with supporting people in their lives. We're caught up with empathy. And the reality is that up to 8,000 people every week come to be part of this church in a public presence in our parish church in our town. So the idea that the church belongs to the Dark Ages and is anti-gay, anti-sexuality, anti-everything that's progressive, I don't buy that. But I wouldn't be a priest if I did.
But Paddy, I'm not having a go at you. And I totally accept what you're saying, that you are an inclusive educationalist, that you believe in supporting young people. And that's you. And that's good. And I really do. You're right, there is two churches then, because the hierarchy and the doctrine and the theology and the teaching is at odds with that. And that is of some concern, because not everybody is you. You're an individual, you're a priest who is very much an advocate for the young people that you work with. And I can feel that and hear that coming across. But there are issues in terms of what someone like I might view the important in sex education that is at odds with the teaching of the church. And if some people on the ground are fudging that or changing that or choosing to ignore that, that doesn't change the fact that the teaching of the church is Catholic, is constant, is it doesn't change. It's like moving an oil tanker trying to change the theological teaching of the church. And that's the case. You know, they don't agree with contraception. They don't agree with sex outside marriage. Sex is still supposed to be within the confines of marriage and for procreation, gay relationships. The teaching is at odds with what you're saying. So is that not of a concern for people?
I think it's of a concern for people, but people have left it, I think. Bottom line, I'm involved in pre-marriage courses, for instance. 99.9% of couples who present themselves for pre-marriage courses are in an experience of living together in a place where they're building relationship, building home, building intimacy. I think particularly, Kieran, I really stress this in terms of Catholic schools, and I'm not a maverick, I'm part of the establishment, I'm loyal to the tradition of the Catholic Church, that's who I am. But I'm also pragmatic, and I think 95% of people on the ground as members of the church continue to be. In no way in secondary schools, while the Catholic ethos is held, I think the fundamental thing in this conversation is particularly young men and young women are allowed to experience and articulate and be informed about what is sexuality, how can I be responsible in my sexual relationships, what is available to me in order to support me in my awareness of my sexuality, particularly in adolescence. And there is also a vacuum here. I was very interested in reading Ferreter's article on Saturday's Irish Times, where I think he made a very important intellectual and yet down-to-earth consideration that, you know, what has replaced, we'd say, the more traditional moral code that was lived and practiced and held up there in Catholic Ireland. And, you know, we see the horrors also, if we want to go the other side of the coin, that those young people who I meet in secondary school have to live out what is presented on social media in terms of sexual intimacy. The pressure on young people to try and enter into relationships, perhaps at an age that they're, while physically may be, but intellectually and emotionally not ready.
I agree with you on that.
And I think, you know, all those questions, our teachers aren't living up in holy towers in Catholic schools. These are intelligent women and men who are part of modern society, who have engaged in university, who have intellectual ability to discern and to be able to communicate in the best sense to young people. And of course, I always feel as well, when I particularly go back to the graduation masses for Leaving Cert students, I was up in a school this morning already supporting them in their final term beginning today, that, you know, children and teenagers, they spend a very small amount of time in school. And in many ways, school is a very safe environment. As a pastoral chaplain in a school, the school deals with the fallout and the issues that are erupting in family lives all over the country. And it's really, in my opinion, Ciara, not just the place of education, but surely to God, it's the place of the family, the place of the parents, the place of those who have the responsibility to rear children, to have those honest, down-to-earth, real dialogues with their children.
We are not at odds. I actually agree with you on all of that. I suppose I have some concerns that things like LGBT issues are kind of whitewashed out of the curriculum. And also things that are in the curriculum are things like abstinence and things like natural family planning, because the church wants them in there, when we know that natural family planning fails miserably and it is not the best form of contraception and it is a foolish one for anyone who doesn't want to get pregnant to use. We know those things. They shouldn't even be there.
Sure, Ciara. And I think, you know, there is, and this is an intellectual point, there is a thing called a theology of growing in awareness, reacting, as you named, quite slowly to the culture of the time. But the church needs to wake up. And by and large, we have woken up in our school communities. But there is that gap between officialdom and on the ground. It's interesting, Ciara, and I think it's a fair point to make here in Portlaoise. The Catholic schools, the demand for them is a growing. Is that because we're indoctrinating? No. Is that because we're dictating? No. It is because it's an ethos that whether we like it or don't like it, this is a fact. It's an ethos that's really all-embracing, an ethos that is inclusive despite what's perceived, and that's deeply pragmatic and caring. And I think young people, more than ever, are challenging the structures and indeed the church on how best we can live in a real way, allowing us to grow. And the question is about sexuality. And fundamentally, sexuality is gift, but to allow that gift to grow and blossom in the best wholesome sense of the word.
All right. Listen, thank you. Genuinely, thank you for talking to me today. That is Father Paddy Byrne there, who is a pastoral chaplain and I think makes some very good points. Lots of you getting involved on the text line about this too. Someone says, in France since 1905, state-funded schools have to be non-religious. We should do the same here. That's from Joe. Someone else says, how do schools teach topics such as evolution and astrophysics when they're contrary to religious teachings? Someone else says, I believe in contraception, but I certainly under no circumstances want transsexual relationships taught to my children, nor any of the other ever increasing definitions. Ludicrous. Well, that's your perspective, but if you had a child who was transsexual, you might feel a bit different. Someone says, of course you'd expect Catholic teaching and values in Catholic schools, including rationality, accuracy and compassion. I take your point, Brendan, but there are certainly things at odds too. And someone says, religion should be removed from schools, full stop. Never mind sex education. It only serves to isolate and divide children. My own sex education was delivered by a priest who seemed to be gay. And I'm sure there are, same as all walks of life, there must be gay people within the priesthood too. Someone says, how can someone teach sex education if they've never had sex? Keep the church out of it. They've had trouble with the celibacy rules. Someone else says, unfortunately, not all schools or all parishes think like that. That's referring to Father Paddy Byrne there, who clearly is a very inclusive man. That's a minority. The huge majority are narrow-minded sheep. Parents, schools and churches all still follow the indoctrinated teachings of the church. Ed says, Ciara, manners, morals and ethics are all that should be taught in schools. Leave religion outside. Brian says, how can people who don't have sex? This is another one about how can people who don't have sex teach about sex? Patricia says, if you belong to a golf club, you play by the rules. The Pope, who is head of the church, says no gay sex, no divorce. Not sure what about artificial birth control, but they are the rules. What is it with all the a la carte Catholics? Such hypocrisy. You're either in or you're out. Well, I think, Patricia, a lot of people have found their own peace with you know, the rules that they pick and choose, including, it would sound like, the Father Paddy there, because he was saying that, you know, it's much more inclusive than that. And last text on this, someone says, what do priests know about marriage? They teach pre-marriage courses too, and they know nothing. I'm sure priests know quite a lot about a lot of things, and I don't want to be saying that, but I'll tell you what I think. I think it's a bit like having the nuns were about to take over the new national maternity hospital that was going to be built. that was a stupid idea because there was always going to be conflict because there is teachings in the church. And even though you get nuns on the ground who are very, very pragmatic, the teachings are at odds with some of the sexual health stuff that goes on in the National Maternity Hospital. Therefore, just don't involve them. You know, future proof it against these issues. I think the same about sex education. The church, irrespective of good men on the ground like Father Paddy, the church itself does not approve of gay relationships. It believes them to be a sin, a sinful thing. The church itself doesn't approve of contraception. The church itself believes that sex should be for procreation, should only happen within marriage. I think we've come up with a bit of an Irish solution that we're saying that we know that the church thinks that, but actually that's not put into practice in our sex education classes. Why set it up that way at all? Why do that? And I do think there's an issue about things like abstinence, which we know, and there's nothing wrong with abstinence, and Father Paddy is correct. There's pressure on kids sometimes to have sex before they're ready. The problem with abstinence is, as a way of managing things like birth control, it fails. It actually, abstinent programs, we see a higher rate of teen pregnancy, all that kind of stuff with them. And the other thing I would say is about natural family planning, it doesn't bloody work. Marking your dates on a calendar and looking at mucus and all this sort of stuff and taking your temperature, that is not the most effective form of contraception. And I also just don't know about teaching about sex through the prism of morality and shame. I don't think that works for us. Sex is a joyful thing. Sex, we only do it because it's good and we like it. That's why we do it. It's like hunger or thirst. It's one of those things. And trying to subvert it and trying to manage it and trying to make some of it acceptable and some of it unacceptable and some of it's good and some of it's bad. And, you know, we have a judgment about it. That's all wrong to me. Let me know what you think. 53106. I think that's all wrong. Because I think this, what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own bedroom, is nobody's bloody business. And just give them good tools to stay safe and to not be carrying around a load of baggage in their head about it. That's what I would like to see. And I actually do think you need to remove religion altogether in order to do that. Does religion and spirituality and those things have a place in our lives? Of course it does, particularly in the lives of young people. But I don't think it has any role in sex education. And I think we should change that. But Owen, one of our listeners, is on the line. And he has something to say about sex education in schools. Owen, what do you make of what we're talking about? The notion that religion and sex education, in my view, don't mix, but in other people's views, maybe it's a good thing.
I'd agree 100% with you, Ciara, with what you just said. I'd copy and paste whatever you said and reapply it. I think there's a broader thing with regard to religion and education, full stop, and especially at primary level. If children are kind of at an early age, maybe 4, 5, 6, they learn to take what's being told to them by older people because they know no different. You know, if you tell someone not to put their hand in near a cooker, well, they have to trust. It's a survival instinct. So if they're being told 1 + 1 = 2 by someone, they're going to naturally assume everything else is true.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's been proven or not.
Okay.
So I think there's a conflict there between, you know, education, which is for learning, and maybe pushing something else. I mean, the way I look at it is, why does it have to be one religion that tends to be in each country of for each state, if you know what I mean? So here would be the predominant one, would be the Roman Catholic Church would be presiding over most schools.
Are you saying, Owen, that you think it's bad to mix up things like facts that we teach our kids, like maths or whatever, with sort of morality, because then they can't tell the difference?
At a certain age, they're designed not to. They have to. It's a survival instinct that, you know, they have to trust the person. And also, even in terms of a rationality, in pure logic, if someone is telling you one thing that you know is right, well, then you kind of follow
that
everything else that they say is right, at an early age.
Okay.
And I've no problem with religion in schools, but it shouldn't be specific to one thing, and it should be taught maybe I enjoy reading kind of Norse mythology and Greek mythology and all that sort of stuff because, you know, a lot of the language we use today comes from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think thunder and lightning comes from Thor or Zeus. you know.
Be good if it did, but nonetheless, yes,
it'll
absolutely
be fantastic. But you know, like there's dangerous aspects to it as well. Especially, you know, I have two daughters here, and sometimes the stuff that they come home with is. Now it's changed from when I was at school. I mean, it was when I look back at some of the stuff, it's just
shocking,
disturbing. But the same, I didn't go to my eldest daughter's communion last year because I just couldn't.
Okay.
Do you know?
I take what you're saying, Eoin, and thank you, and thank you for coming on air and telling us about that. I do appreciate it. Thank you. Lots of people on the text line still. James says teaching abstinence might be old hat, Ciara, but we should be teaching restraint. We have removed the church, but what's coming in is far darker. That's a very good point. Brendan says, Ciara, as a believer whose background is in science, I just want to say there is no contradiction between religion and evolution and astrophysics. In fact, there's a huge amount of synergy. It's very interesting, Brendan. I did not know that. And someone else says about Father Paddy, Ciara, you have a live one there. What a cheek that priest has to indulge in situation ethics as a priest. I want Catholic schools which teach Catholic doctrine. So that's somebody who comes from the wholly opposite point of view. They want the full-blown doctrine. I'll tell you this, though. We're dancing on the head of a pin about what we tell our kids about sex and, you know, trying to get it right and trying to make it wholesome for them. Average age of young lads looking at porn now on their smartphones that I'm always going to give out about as well. 11. Your 11-year-old son is probably, on average, statistically, watching porn. Not little magazines, full-blown videos. We need to move quickly with getting in ahead of the adult entertainment industry in terms of what our kids find out about sex. I think we need to take this issue up and deal with it properly. No more Irish solutions to Irish problems. But there you go. Thanks again for listening to this Lunchtime Live podcast. Please do subscribe via the app or on iTunes and check us out on newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Talk to you again soon.